Isaiah chapter 31.
All right, our God is a God of justice and mercy. He starts with justice, always the natural first, then the spiritual, and then he ends up in mercy. Whenever God judges you, sends you through the fire, puts affliction upon you, it's because he loves you. I'm going to say it again. Whenever God spanks you, loves you, it's because he has a plan, and you're not always agreeable to the plan. In fact, you're never agreeable to the plan in your flesh. Your flesh doesn't like it, but don't forget, that's your prayer. It's, God, get rid of my flesh. I'm too strong, too smart, too stupid. I don't know how to get rid of me, but you can do it. So God uses the law, even as Christians. He uses the law to expose us. And then he uses the gospel to perfect us as soon as we admit it, as soon as we confess it, as soon as we go, yeah, you're right, Lord. I'm too strong in myself. I need your help. So don't think the law, that's his left hand, don't think the law is a bad thing. It's a good thing. I love thy law, King David said. So we preach, unlike most churches, they just preach the gospel. We preach that that's not a gospel if it isn't based on the law. Remember, Jesus said, don't think I came to get rid of the law, destroy it, to obliterate it. I did come to remove the curse of the law. That part I removed. The system that the law said man can do it. I destroyed that part. But the law itself, not according to the letter that killeth, but according to the Spirit that giveth life, that's the gospel. So the gospel actually completes the law, finishes the law, makes the law fulfilled. Don't think I came to destroy the law. That's why Christians don't grow. They think once you become a Christian, you don't need the law anymore. No, you're not under it. But now it describes you. It's no longer a command, but it's a description. It's actually a promise. So when God says, you know, you shall be holy as me, if that were a command, you couldn't do it. And so he gives that command to break you, to realize, well, I guess I can't help him. Good guess. That was a good guess. How many know you can't? You're not smart enough, strong enough, good enough. You're not enough of anything. Apart from me, you can do absolutely nothing. And so that's the first lesson of life. And that's why you need the law, and that's why your parents spank you. And if your parents don't spank you, life will. Your marriage will spank you. Your business will spank you. Your health will spank you. You'll get a spanking sooner or later. God's faithful. So he is a God of justice. And so he doesn't like bad, naughty things, but he knows you're going to do them. So he uses spankings. But the spankings don't save you. They just bring you to a point of going, I can't help. I can't help myself. I can't change. I try to do it outwardly, but I can't do it inwardly. I mean, I don't really want to do God's will. My heart really doesn't trust him completely. Maybe not at all. I still trust in myself. I'm still looking for man to help me out. I'm still looking for life in life. I'm still hoping my husband will shape up. I hope my neighbor will get better. And maybe after they get better, maybe I'll be a little bit better too. Because I've been a victim. I've been a victim of circumstance and a victim of other people that I relied upon. And, you know, they let me down. God doesn't buy that. That's always your own fault. Your unhappiness is due to you. Your heart is evil. Your soul is unwilling. And your body is full of phoniness, fakery, hypocrisy, and wickedness. So you're a fool. Could everybody say amen?
Amen.
Yeah. See, that's good news. Because the good news is the God that showed you that is the God that will kill Jesus for you. So then you have the mercy of God. But the mercy doesn't. The mercy itself only forgives the sin but never removes it. So you need the Holy Ghost. The big need in the church today is the Holy Spirit. Not that Jesus died on the cross for you, but that you die now. Take up your cross. So the biggest need in the church today is Christians to suffer. pray for the law. God, I don't think I'm getting rid of all my sin. Have Pastor Jim preach more on that. Have him stir up the fire, the affliction, the furnace, because I'm wrong again. How many know that as Christians you're wrong? No, not in your heart. You have a new heart. That's what makes you a Christian. You have a new heart. But you don't have a new soul. You're still selfish. You're still only thinking of yourself. You're not thinking of other people all the time and God and so on. You're actually thinking of yourself. Poor me. If only. Well, what if? You know, and you're full of self-concern. You're not really thinking of, you know, praying for Pastor Jim every day. And I can feel it. I can feel the weakness of your prayer. You know, it's just that, Lord, bless Pastor Jim above all else. You know, that's because you're not dead. If you were dead, you would think of that. This is in the Bible somewhere. I'm sure it's in the Bible. Pastor David, do you need some prayers, Pastor David?
They're not praying for you. Imagine what they're doing for me.
You get the leftovers or something. Yeah. But it's okay. Nobody cares. They don't care. You're not going to heaven because you're good. You're going to heaven because God's good. Amen. You're not going to heaven because you're good. You're not smart. You're not strong. You're not anything. God is everything. He's your all in all. So your beloved likes you. That's why he chastens you. That's why he gave you the law. But as Christians think, well, that's not for us. Yeah, you're not under it. Like the Jewish people, they tried to keep the law, Israel. God always distinguishes in the Bible between Israel and the church. Two different deals. Israel is not the church. You say, well, weren't they called the church in the wilderness? Yeah, when they were wandering. But as soon as they settled in the land, they were no longer called the church, ever. Never at any time. They were the church in the wilderness. Only when they were being beat up. Only when they were, you know, in the desert and they had to rely on God every day for food and water and, you know, protection. That's what God loves, pilgrims. People that are separated unto Him, going His way through the troubles, difficulties, and then praising Him all the way. Remember Israel? She griped and grumbled. Every single day, a minute, second, always griping and grumbling. If she did it outwardly, she was doing it inwardly. Did you know that? So God says, you know, I hate your religion because it's completely outward. And then sometimes it's not even outward. And so it's the same with the church. The church feels like we're not Israel. That's true, you're not. I know you have a new heart. They didn't. They did all their stuff outwardly and, you know, they didn't have a heart. And they weren't really willing. They didn't do it with a willing heart and a willing soul. Okay, so God gave you a new heart, but you don't have a willing soul to want to do what your heart saith, which is live only for Him, trust Him in everything, never gripe, never complain, never get a bad report, never, ever, ever look down, look up. Your redemption draweth nigh. So we need the law. But we don't need the law to defeat us and destroy us. We need the law to defeat our flesh, but not our spirit. So chastening is good for you. And why complain about all the problems you've had in life? They're all your own. Every one of them. Every one of them is your own. Oh, the devil did it. No, he didn't. The devil has no power except you give it to him. You don't give the devil anything. I don't ever deal with the devil. Just get out. Stop lying. Because he'll make me a victim. Oh, poor Jim. Is God really taking good care of you? He wants me to worry about that kind of stuff. You know, your parents didn't care. Now your husband or wife or children or whatever, somebody, church, you know. Nobody seems to care. That's true. That's just Satan talking to you. Hey, God says differently. Everything's going your way.
Amen.
Zippity-doo-da. Zippity-a. My, oh, my, what a wonderful day. Isn't this world great? Every minute of every second. Who cares who's president? Who cares if you have money in the bank? Who cares if your body is falling apart? Who cares if your relationships don't work? Who cares? Why are you caring? Hey, look on Jesus. Beholding Him, He'll put a smile on your face. Because He's a God of justice and mercy. And besides, it's not even up to you to cause anything. It's just up to you to enjoy yourself. In the presence of the Lord, there is fullness of
joy.
Joy unspeakable and full of
glory.
Yeah, I mean, isn't that to be lived in this world instead of in the next? Who's going to see your good works in the next world? Everyone will be good. There's nobody going to pay attention to you.
You seem to be good.
There's not going to be any pagans up there. There's no, you know, Jewish legalists up there. There's no Christian, you know, phonies and fakes up there. Everyone in heaven's going to be perfect. So how can men give good works, give glory for seeing your good works in heaven? They won't. There won't be any men up there. They'll all be angels and good people. So what he's talking about is here. This the church doesn't preach this. I'm sorry to say, the church does not preach good news. It has the word, but it doesn't preach it. The good news is that you're to be a lover in this world. You're to be mature in this world. And not tomorrow, today. You're to be happy in this world. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness. You know, all of those fruits of the Spirit, they should be exhibited now. You should be walking in love, led of the Spirit, filled with the Spirit, giving good news all the time. Israel was told to do it, and she didn't do it. But at least she was told. So she wasn't much of a light. And now the church is supposed to be the salt and the light, which convicts the world by its joy, by its truth, by its love, by its peace, by everything. You know, that's the world needs to see some. It would be good if you'd be the first on your block. Lord, I just want you to know I'm completely yours, and if there be any wicked way, if you just find even the smallest one, rebuke me. Yeah, Pastor, say something about it. Now I'll repent right away. I'll just yield to the Holy Spirit. I'll confess, first of all, it's my own fault. And then second of all, I'll give you all the praise. Give you all the glory. Now, how many are happy already? Yeah, no, it's powerful. So this is not a horrible, awful world. It's only a horrible, awful world if you're not in Christ. But if you're in Christ, this is a wonderful place. This is a place to testify. You can't testify in heaven. Everybody's a Christian. Everybody's a believer. You can only testify down here. So when's you going to get your testimony? Well, if things would change, I would. I don't have a testimony. I just have tests. I don't have any moaning. And so you're just moaning about your tests. That's not a testimony. So God wants you to be happy all the time. How many believe these words? You know, yeah, those are true words, Pastor. They come right out of the Bible. And I could preach it forever. I don't even need the Bible. I got it memorized so much. I could preach this forever. But let's look at the Jewish people right now. Take our eyes off of one another. Take our eyes off ourselves. Just look at the Jewish people. So God sends them, and here they haven't even gotten to this candlestick thing yet. Seven furnaces that are ahead of them. And we've already had six of them. The Jewish people have already gone through six times. Adolf Hitler was the last one. Now it's about another one. And we haven't gotten to this one yet, but we're right on the cusp. We're right on the edge. Thank God it's not the church. The church doesn't have to go through that. You do not have to go through that tribulation. Remember the Philadelphia church? Because you already love one another. You don't need any more chastening. Of course, it may be that you don't. And then you do. And of course, you'd have to do it willingly and happily. And if you saw your brother in trouble, if you saw Israel in trouble on these last days, you would join them. Lord, don't let them suffer alone. Let me get in right there with them. I'll be an encouragement to them. The last time the Christians abandoned the Jewish people in Germany, the Christians just, you know, said, yeah, good thing it's the Jews, not us. Let the homosexuals get it. Let the Muslims get it. Let the, you know, wicked people get it, and so on. But thank God the church is okay. And then when he finished everybody else off, then he came after the church. That was a little foolish on the church's part. I mean, you're going to get it sooner or later. Might as well get it right away. Hey, Lord, let's start right today. Let's just, you and me in the closet, work this thing out. All my misery is due to me. All my misery is not due to my husband, my wife, my children, my neighbor, my pastor, my world, my health, my wealth, you know. That's none of that. Everything miserable is you. You're the source of all misery. Say it. I am the source of all misery. Now, I know you want to blame the devil. The devil's a nothing. That's God's devil. He made him. If God wanted to call him off, he'd just knock him in the head and he'd be gone. All he'd do is talk. All he'd do is think. The devil'd be gone. How many know the devil's nothing? He's not anything one to be afraid of. There's nothing in the Bible that says be afraid of the devil. It just says submit yourself under the mighty hand of God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. That's simple. So, you know, here's a big dog, you know, coming after you, and you just submit yourself under the mighty hand of God. God! You know, that's the way to do it. And then you say to the dog, go. Otherwise, he won't go. So God has put all those little barking dogs after you in this world just to make you grow up, not to hurt you. God never will hurt you, ever. Amen. He'll hurt your flesh, which you don't want. Your pride, yes. Your envy, yes. All the Ten Commandments stuff, you know. Yeah, he's going to take care of that. But he wants you to have love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness. He wants all that stuff to come out of you, which is nothing but Jesus. Now, you can't do it, but you're a new creation, so you can do it. But you can't do it by yourself. You do it because Christ is in you, the hope of glory. So, God's dealing with Israel, but we can learn from Israel. Now, we'll never have her problem. Her problem was she did outward works to please God, strenuous, laboring, really working hard, but her heart wasn't in it. We don't have that problem. We have a new heart. You know what our problem is? We have a new heart. Our heart loves God. You don't have to make it. He gave it to you as a free gift. Jesus died on the cross. You believed in him. You got a new heart. You're regenerated. It's over. There's nothing more. But, you don't have a new soul. You know why? You. That's not Jesus. He's not going to make your soul. He's not going to force you to will God's will. What are you waiting around for? God, help. He's not going to help you. It's your turn. Will it. Okay, God, give me all the blessings. God, that's not willing it. Your willing it is like this. God, if there be any wicked way in me, anything that keeps me from you in my soul, get that sin right now. Point it out and then destroy it. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah! That's the way to deal with it. I will. This is the day the Lord hath made. I will rejoice. You hear the will? I will rejoice and be glad in it. That's up to you. Well, I'm waiting for the Holy Spirit to... Yeah, he's not going to do it. He's not going to do it. Well, I've prayed many things and he didn't come through. You got one excuse after another. But you know what? Here's what the Bible says. Rejoice in the Lord. Again, I'll say rejoice. In the Lord. Always! And again, I'll say it. And again, I'll say it. And again, I'll say it. Because you should be rejoicing always. Did you know that God dwells in the praises of his people? When his people praise, he loves it. When they gripe and grumble, it reminds him of Israel in the desert. You know, eating lizards and whatever else he had for them. And they just complained about everything in their life. Everything's going our way. Let's say Obama gets reelected. That's fine. It doesn't hurt anything. I don't think he will be. I'm just going to tell you right now, I don't think he will be. But let's say he did. Good. That's nothing. You deserve worse. You deserve worse. Your sin, God is not working on Obama. He's not working on the world. He's not working on the Jewish people. He's not working on the pagans. He's not even working on the lukewarm Christian denominational churches. He's only working on us. We're his favorite. And when the Father loves you, he chastens you. He just gets the stick out. He just gets a stick out and just beats the tar out of you until you don't have any tar left. He just loves to do that. Aren't you excited about that? You know, like a little kid, you chase a little kid around the table and he'll run around the other side. Then you come around this side and he'll run back. But, you know, you can actually run faster than that little kid. And when you just about catch them, they surrender. They just turn around and they surrender. They're so scared. They hate it. You got me. Just surrender to God. Just surrender to God. Now, I want one of you, just one of you, to stand up and say, I am the happiest person on the face of the earth.
I am.
You are?
I'm that man.
Okay. That's good. Praise God. Praise God. Now, see, that's just a choice. You don't have to do it. It's just based on faith. He didn't just choose it. He based it on the Word of God. The faith is, hey, Happy is the man, Tim, who trusts in the Lord. That's where happiness comes from. It doesn't come from looking for happiness. You can't find happiness by looking for happiness. You find happiness by trusting in the Lord. In other words, it's not up to you. You can't do anything. You've never done anything good. You will never do anything good. Ever, ever, ever. Any good that happens, that was God. God is the doer of good works. That's why I like the church better than Israel. Because Israel had the weight on themselves. Here, the weight was on me. Behave yourself. Be holy as I'm holy. But down here, it's all on God. Here, it isn't an imperative. Be holy. That's an imperative. It's a command. Be holy as I am holy. Now, listen carefully to what it actually says. You shall be holy as I am holy. Now, is that a command or is that a promise? It's a promise. So Israel took it as an imperative under the law, and they're still trying to keep the law, but we take it as a promise instead, and that's called the indicative. So that's who I am. So the promise is indicative. The indicative is better than the imperative. The imperative puts the weight on me. The indicative puts the promise on God. So if God says you shall be holy, and of course I'll be holy. If God says every minute of every second of every day is wonderful and glorious and, you know, couldn't be better, then that's the way it is. I believe that. Everything's going my way. Now, who would like to stand up and say, you know what, everything is going my way. Because God has promised me. God has sworn an oath. I will build my church. That's an oath. Right there, if you're his church, he's going to build you. He's not just going to get you born again. That's not what he's after. He's after justified, then sanctified, then glorified, so that you're walking in love. You're led by the Spirit. You're filled with the Spirit. Then you're led of the Spirit. And the reason you can be led is because you're emptied of you. How can he fill you if you're full? So he has to empty you out by filling you up with the Holy Spirit so you don't have your spirit anymore. That's what's a new heart and a new soul. And that comes through furnace, fire, chastening, troubles, difficulties. And I would say one or two of you have had a few. One or two of you have had a few trials and troubles, and you misunderstood when it came and started feeling sorry for yourself and accusing others. You misunderstood. You did the Adam Eve thing. The woman thou gavest me. Do you know that some men are so, they think that the woman is the cause. There are men like that. they don't want the fault to be on them. So he not only accused his wife. Well, she had this apple thing, gave it to me, and messed me up. I was just trying to, you know, be a good husband. And you gave her to me. So now we excused ourselves, accused our wives or our husbands or whoever, and then accused God. But that is a lie. How many know that's a lie? That's called sin. God calls that sin. So he wants us to change and to live by promises. He never had in mind that we'd live by the law. He never put any pressure on you to do anything. In fact, you never will. Even after you're born again, it's still all God. He's the one that gives you your new birth. He's the one that causes you to repent. He's the one that teaches you the truth. He's the only one. He's the one that judges you. He's the one that forgives you and merciful. But not only mercy. Grace is not just mercy. It's also power. The power of the Holy Ghost. You need the power of the Holy Ghost. The church's problem today is not being born again. I know they're all believers in Christ, but they're not growing. They're not happy all the time. They're not abundant all the time. They're not giving a good report all the time. They're not living with love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and so on. They're not doing that all the time. So there's something wrong with that church. He's not coming back for a harlot. Not coming back for a harlot. That would mean one spot, one wrinkle. That's a harlot to him. You see, because he said, be perfect. Remember, that was the law. There is the law. Be perfect. Be holy as I'm holy. I mean, we can just write it out, because this is all the law is. Be perfect as I'm perfect. That word, actually, it's in the scripture today. The word perfect is in there, and it's tamim. Be perfect. There's 16 words for perfect, but this is one of them. So tam or tamim is be perfect. What does it mean? It means to be whole, spirit, soul, and body. Whole is not just having a new heart, but you also have to have a new soul, and you also have to have a new life, a new behavior, new everything. So that you're actually heavenly on earth. The kingdom of God is here. Remember Jesus said, repent, the kingdom of God's at hand. It's right here. It's coming. You're it. You're the members of the kingdom. Not God. He's already in. But he's building a family. He's building a house for himself. And he wants children that look like the Father. You have the image of God. You don't have the likeness of God until you choose it. I choose today to be holy. Not only in my heart, because of what Jesus did, but I would take up my cross today. I'll go through the furnace. Take whatever it requires, Lord God. I don't want any sin to be in me. I want to be perfect in your sight. I don't want to please men. I'm not going to please my mother. I'm not going to please my church. I'm not going to please anybody but you. And I know you want me to be perfect. I know your law said that, but I know it's actually a promise and not an imperative. It's an indicative. So therefore, it describes me. So therefore, since I am a new creation, then I choose to be. I want to be what I am. I'm not a beggar. I'm a king. I'm not lowly at the bottom. I'm at the top. Therefore, I need to walk in love with no excuses, because I don't want one spot or one wrinkle or any such thing. No blemishes, no stains, nothing of this world. I don't want any self in it. So kill myself. Remember it says I die daily? Paul says I die daily. That means you have to do this every day. Because you could forget what happened yesterday doesn't count for today. Did you know that? Whatever happened yesterday you were a wonderful Christian. Maybe right now you're wonderful. Usually people behave when they come to church. They're a lot better when they get out in the parking lot. It's totally different. They're yelling at each other and so on and so forth. You know, selfish again, critical again. You know, they forgot all their joy. It's just for God, 20-minute God. A 20-minute God. That's why we do hours here, because you're not a fast learner. How many know that good teachers always repeat themselves? Just like God. He only has one message throughout the whole Bible. Man is not God, I am. That's about it. You know, and I love you. And there's no hope in man, but there's all hope in God. That's kind of simple. So there's not much to the whole Bible. You can learn the whole Bible. It's a bunch of words, and you just have to study the grammar. And then it's some history, and kings following different that and doing stuff. And then there's just a message that God is good and you're not. I mean, it's just so simple. But because he is good, then you are. But it's a gift. It's not an achievement on your part. It's not a work. So he uses the law to make sure you don't take any glory, and then you give him all the glory. That's about it. Now, I want you to know everybody here is a sinner even after you're born again. You still sin from your soul. Yourself is still sinning. You have sinful thoughts. You have sinful desires. And you have sinful emotions. You don't take every emotion to God. You don't take every thought captive to God. You don't take every desire to God. Not my will, but thine be done. You know, you don't do it. In your heart, you're doing it, yes. But he did that. He gave you the new heart. You're a new creation now. But it said, the old has passed away, the new has come, but we forgot. We looked in the mirror and then we forgot. Oh yeah, I have a new heart. I forgot. And we treat one another in the flesh. When you hit me, I'm hitting right back. And next time, I might even preemptively strike you. Well, I thought you were going to hit me. And so now America now is preemptive. You know, we like to hit the enemy before they even think about it. Don't even think. We're just going to spank you for good measure. America, you know, we're the big bully now. Of course, that's Obama's view of things. As a way of use it. As America's been bad and nasty and naughty, we got to apologize to everybody. Well, it's not Christianity. Christianity doesn't blame anybody. They just take it to themselves. It's all mine. I did the bad. If anything bad comes out of me, it's me. If any unhappiness is in me, that's me. It's my decision. I chose wrong. So I'm going to be happy every minute of every second of every day. All right, who could stand up and say, that's going to be me? Every minute of every second of every day. Woo! Joy unspeakable. You can't even say it. You know, you can't even say, I'm happy. He's just so excited. That's what little kids are. Little kids, you know, they just go around the house and they don't know any better. So they just, you know, they don't know what's going on. You got to tell them the economy stinks. Stop dancing. You know, your mom and dad are about to divorce. You know, they don't know anything. All they know is they got clothes and food. And, you know, they don't think. They don't even know what trouble is. I grew up in utter poverty. No nothing. No bathrooms, no nothing. We got outhouse, plump, and all that stuff. So, you know, so what? I don't know any better. Because my neighbor's pretty much like I am. Because they generally tend to have poor people living next to poor people living next to poor people. We were what they call white Irish trash. You ever heard of that? That was us. We were the, you know, the Bohemians were next to us, the Czechoslovakians, the Russians, and so on and so forth, the Polish. And we just lived in a rotten neighborhood. People did all kinds of naughty, bad things, which we knew about. And growing up in that environment, you don't think about it. It's just normal. So-and-so shot so-and-so the other day. So-and-so went to prison. Everybody I grew up with, as far as I can remember, they all went to prison. In other words, they're either dead or they went to prison. Because they were always doing bad stuff. And we knew all of it. But it didn't bother us. You know, the only thing is, you just lived in terror. But as a little kid, you're not terrorized. You just lived in terror. But, you know, if my parents would leave the house, I'd go and get a knife out of the drawer and sit there till they got back. You're just waiting. Because you didn't have locks on your doors and stuff like that in those days. So you never knew what was going to happen. Did y'all see that? So I was petrified as a little kid, you know, never knowing what's going to happen. But still, you go around, you know, you don't know anything because you just live in your imagination and you're just trying to survive. But a lot of you were spoiled. You were middle class or something. I wasn't middle class. We lived on the wrong side of the tracks. We lived on the wrong side of Ogden Avenue, which is Highway 66, which comes all the way to, you know, way down here. But we didn't know any better. And so since everybody's poor and everybody, the lady next door didn't even have a floor. Hers was just dirt. Just lived in the dirt. And she had a nice garden, which we stole all the stuff out of her garden. She chased us with a rake, you know, trying to get us. It was great. You know, but, you know, I grew up happy, but actually it was a terrifying world. You know, there was no justice, and I didn't believe in justice. I didn't believe anything was fair or right or true. Everything was just try to get through the day. Just try to live. I use this because it's so real. I was the one that, in the family, went out and cut the dandelions off. That was our salad. Today, it's a luxury. But in my day, that was because you were poor. And you didn't go to the store. You just went and chopped the dandelions. My grandmother showed me how. Cut it like this, and then it grows back, and so on and so forth. So you're just harvesting dandelions to have some kind of greenery. Did y'all see that? So everybody lived off the land. That's the way to do it. Now, why does God allow all kinds of evil, bad, nasty things in the world and then tell his people, Israel, to rejoice always? Because that's the way he is. So he wants you to be happy all the time. Amen. Is everybody happy all the time?
Yes.
Okay. Just stand up and say, I'm happy all the time.
I'm happy all the time.
Woohoo! Yahoo! That's good. What a good church. What a good church. All right, now, where are we? All right. Ari, don't worry, you're right on time. All right, here we are, chapter 30. Listen to this now. Now, I've told you the secret, so don't pay attention to the words, the grammar. Don't pay attention to it. I just told you what it's doing. It's tricky. Now, listen to it. Woe to the rebellious children. Now, don't think that's bad news. That's good news to me. He's talking to Israel, Judah, not even southern Israel, the northerners, but just the southerners. Woe! In other words, not weal, not wealth, not good, but woe unto you. Why? What did they do wrong? Well, what they did wrong was the Assyrians were about to attack. And so instead of going to God, they decided to make an alliance. You ever done that as a Christian? Instead of going to God, you get a pill, or you call a pastor, or you try to get help from man. And so they turned to Egypt, which was a superpower. It's like you could go to China today, or you could go to, you know, England, or you could go to America, or try to find some superpower to link up with and make an alliance. So the Assyrians were about to gobble everybody up, and they had conquered all the nations. And Egypt, though, was the other superpower that was used to be the old superpower. They were still in business. So Israel decided, hey, God is no good, even though we believe in him, and even though we still go to synagogue and church and stuff. We don't trust him. How many know that people can love God and not trust him? You love God, but you don't trust him on a daily basis for your daily life. When the bills come in, you don't trust God. Hallelujah! Another bill! You know, when the doctor says you have cancer, yes! Hallelujah! Alice, you can't believe it. I got cancer. Because, you see, you're to always give a good report. But for most people, they look grim and glum. You know, get the world just falling apart. They don't want to do anything. Now life is over. Come on, these are all tests. They're just tests. They're just tests. They're just tests. Laugh. One of the reasons you got cancer is because you don't have any fun. You ever notice that people who get cancer, they don't have any fun. They're grim. They're always nice people. I've never seen a nasty person get cancer. They're always wonderful, good Christian people who have a heart for God, but they're too legalistic. They're no fun at all. They can't even laugh at a bad joke. Now, what I'm saying is, if you were rejoicing all the time instead of, you know, trying to eat right and live right and be right, so it's just your own effort. I'm better than others, thank God. That's not going to help you. Did you know that God loves sinners? He rains on the unjust. Has anybody ever figured that out? You know that nasty people live longer. They do. They drink and they swear and they do these all kinds of things. Long life will be given to the faithful. But you can be faithful but proud of it, and therefore you won't have the long life. Because he wasn't talking about outward show. He was talking about inward heart. And a lot of the guys that are boozing and drinking and having a horrible time out there, they're actually living longer, better. Because they don't even have a God to turn to. They're just sinning. You know that sinners are having a good time? Now, I know what the Bible says, and I know it means it. But on the other hand, what he's after is his church, and he was after Israel at this time. She was afraid of Assyria. How many here have fears? Remember it says in the Bible, perfect love casts out all fear? But there are Christians I know that have fear. They're afraid of getting sick or going crazy or, you know, losing their mate or, you know, their wealth or whatever. They're worried about everything. Hey, we have a God. How can anything go wrong? How can anything go wrong? Now I don't preach this message in America. I preach it in the bush in Africa. I preach it everywhere. India, China. You don't have to be wealthy to hear this. Even poor people sometimes want to be rich. Did you know that? That in the heart of a poor person, they think about it a lot. Boy, if I only had money. So their heart is filled with someday, they'll even gouge their eyes out and do all this stuff in India just so they can beg and get a few bucks because they have no hope otherwise. I want you to know the world's a grim place. It's awful. And that's where God says, in the world you have trouble, but you who are mine, be of good cheer. That'll be a little contrast. But most of us are just as miserable. And we get miserable over, you know, the toaster doesn't work in the morning. God, what's wrong, Alice? The toaster. It just went off, you know. Well, that's bad. I mean, that's terrible. And, you know, somebody else has a leg gone or something, and we're worried about a toaster, or the doorbell doesn't work, or, you know, the washing machine, you know, wasn't what the man said, and so on. We're worried about wrong stuff. Don't worry about anything. Remember Jesus said, be not anxious. Give me praise every minute of every second of every day. And if you want to worry about something or work on something, work on your sin. God, show me all my wickedness. If there be, I tell you, if there's even the smallest wicked way in me, just devastate me until I won't cooperate. So just get me. And I give you full permission, whatever it takes. Who would like to say that? Yeah. Because you're tough. I'm telling you, you are tough. You are so stubborn. Is there anybody here that has the gift of stubborn? The stubborn gift. You know, you're stubborn. And you're hard. You are not teachable. Your heart may be soft, but your head. You know, there's a lot of people that love their children and so on, but their head is in a totally different place. And they're actually going to cut the child off or whatever. And people just are mean because of their stupid religion and their stupid morality. Do you hear what I'm saying? I mean, when someone does bad towards you, the Bible does not say get even. What does it say? When someone does evil towards you, what does it say? Love them, bless them, rejoice, you know, not get them. Well, you did wrong. I'm never going to talk to her again. I'll show her. That's silly. Is that the Bible? The Bible is bless them, bless your enemies, pray for them. Get your own sins. Confess your own sins. And rejoice greatly. I'll tell you, when I see a sin, I get excited. I do. Peggy doesn't, but I do. I get excited. I tell her, you know, well, so-and-so just said I was something or other. She said, well, they're right. So she doesn't relieve me or something. Well, so-and-so said this, and then, yeah, well, they were right. I've been trying to tell you that myself. Isn't that great to have a wife like that? That's a blessing. Pinky can tell you, I do not get mad at that. I just think it's funny. I think it's great. I don't even have to go out of the house. I could stay right there and get all the abuse that I need. You see that? What a gift that is. But I don't ever put pressure on Peg. I don't care what she does or says. I love her just the way she is. You see that? She's the best. And I tell her that. And the minute that she does something like that, I tell her, you are the best wife I've ever had. You didn't catch the joke. But anyway. So, you're the best. In other words, I'm not mad. I don't care. I got a God. He takes care of me. Even if I'm the one that did mess up, I don't even care about that. Because I have a Jesus. I don't ever make an effort, Randy, to clean up, shape up, or defend myself. Somebody attacks me, I just let them. I go. Go for it. If you can get through Jesus, it's fine. I don't care. I believe that God is so good that I don't have any problems. I believe everything's going my way. Do you believe that?
Yes.
I believe if I sin all the way to heaven, I still believe God loves me. I don't think He's going to change His mind just because I sin. Some of you have deliberately sinned. I mean, it's one thing to accidentally do it, but some of you deliberately sinned. I mean, you even know when you're, let's say God says to you, don't argue with your husband or don't argue with your wife, but you will deliberately, you know, for 1 second you won't, but then the next second, you just said that. And it'll come out. And there you are. You've fallen right into it. You even prayed 5 minutes earlier. God, I don't care what she says or what he says. I'm not going to get into an argument. That's fruitless. It never works. He never shapes up anyway. She never shapes up. So she's not going to do it. But then when they say something, it's kind of like inspires you.
Yeah.
You brought that up. All right, let me tell you. Oh, it's so fun. Y'all see that? Now laugh at yourself. Yeah, that's okay. Jesus doesn't care. He doesn't expect you, as though you were part of Israel, to clean up. He expects him to keep his promise. The only issue in life is whether God lies. The only issue in life is whether God lies. Is he a loving father that lies? No. If he swore, I will build my church, the gates of hell will not prevail against it, that's the case. I have begun a good work in you, the good work I began in you, I will surely complete. That's a promise. I don't see any weight on you. I see nothing in the Bible that ever puts weight on you. And any time he does say it like this, be ye perfect, or you shall be perfect as I am perfect, it's a promise, it's not a command. Did you hear me? You interpreted it as a command. You can. But you also could interpret it as a promise. So it depends on your picture of God. You think God's an angry judge who's making commands on you that you can't fulfill? Or do you think God's a loving father who made a command so then you would say, I didn't do it, so then you'd need mercy, and then he'd give you the mercy, and then he'd help you out, and then he'd bless you for nothing? That's the way we raised our kids. We gave them heavy laws. I did, anyway. I made incredible laws on them. So they were always guilty. I just kept them guilty. Peggy hated it. She grew up under guilt and she didn't like it. I thought it was fun. So I'd just tell them, you know, hey, you don't do like that. Because if the kids would even, one time I remember Kara walked around the doorway, Mom had just scolded her, and she walked around the door and she went like this. But she didn't know I was standing right there. Boy, I caught her right there. You see that? No! You do not roll your eyes. You will be spanked. Go get the stick. Do y'all see that? Would you love to grow up in front of my house? This is great. But I put those heavy laws on them so I could teach them the mercy of God. The law is never the end. That's just the first word. Remember Jesus said, we live by many words. That's just the first word, is behave yourself. Yeah, that's the way you raise kids. You raise kids so that they're guilty. That's the way he raised Israel. And they, to this day, won't admit they were guilty. Isn't that funny? They have never, except for Art Katz, I have never read a Jewish writer that has ever said, we Jews were the fault. People always are victims. And most Jewish people to this day are still victims. Well, you know, people are anti-Semitic. Really. All people are wicked. If you're talking about that, they don't care about you that much. You think they're anti-Semitic? They don't even care about you. They're anti-everything. We're just selfish. Amen? Did you all realize that? So it's not a, you know, this or that group or whatever. We'll just find any old group. You just have to find one. And thank God our politicians always supply us with who the latest demons are. You know, and pastors do too. Don't smoke and don't chew and don't go with those that do. You know, you always have somebody. Well, thank God I'm not one of those. I think it's funny. I don't think God wants us to be perfect. I think God wants him to make you perfect. I don't think he wants you to be perfect because you know what? You're not. I mean, he's already talking to somebody who's goofed up. Right? I mean, even before you were born, for 9 months, you were already conceived in sin. I mean, that's conception, even before you birthed. The minute you come out of the womb, you don't go, I love you, Mom. Don't worry about a thing. I can feed myself, clothe myself, take care of myself. What do you need help on? They don't come out like that. You know, they come out, everybody take care of me. There's no baby that's unselfish. Now, I know they're innocent because they don't know what they're doing. But I know what they're doing. They're keeping moms up. I can't believe Peggy could stay up. You know, just like, how can you stay up night after night? I'd just put the little kid in the bathtub and hose him down a little bit and stuff. I mean, I couldn't do that. How do you get any sleep? And they just don't sleep for months. You know, it just amazes me. Every 2 hours, getting up and all that stuff. Man, I admire women. Thank God I was not a woman. I couldn't have made it. Because I would have thought of something real quick. Remember one time the baby was really crying and they're, Peg, the baby's crying. Well, I'm not getting up. You can't just let the baby cry like that. Well, it won't stop. Well, I could get us to stop. You can? Yeah. So I just picked the baby up, ran down the hall as fast as I could, and the baby went like this. And see, it's not crying. That's not good, probably, but I'm just telling you, that's why men are not raising babies. But I did solve it. And the other thing you can do is you lay them on the bed, and then you bounce the bed so that they flip over. But after a while, they like it. They love it, you see. So I had a lot of little tricks like that, but you can tell I'm not a good mother. I would not make a good mother. All right. So, the word for rebel is merod. Can you see that the word for mother, merod, M-E-R-A-D, or O-D, it doesn't matter. Nimrod. Nimrod. Nimr means leopard and merod means rebel. Oh, rebellious children. In other words, you're children of Nimrod. You're going to Egypt, which is Narmer, the very first pharaoh of Egypt, the very first pharaoh of Egypt to join the lands together was Nimrod. The same Nimrod that built the Tower of Babel is the same Narmer that built Egypt, which then made India, which also was instrumental in China. If you will look at the first emperors of China, they're wearing the leopard skin. I just told you NMR, Nimr, is leopard. And Merod means rebellious. In other words, the king, the royal, always wears the leopard skin, and he's always the one that is rebelling against God, come up with his own religion of, we can do it. We can do what God wants. We don't need God. I think that's great. Did you know that everybody in the world is born that way? Everybody's born that way. I don't need God. I can do it myself. Every little kid wants to rebel and say no. So this chapter is showing how Israel is not going to do it. Listen to this. This is verse 9. That this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord, which say to the seers, prophets, don't see, and to the prophets, don't prophesy unto us the true things. Speak to us smooth things, prophesy deceits. I love that. So here are the eyes, the seers, and here are the speakers, the prophets, and here are me, the hearer, and I'm telling my prophets and seers, don't show me that and don't say that. I don't want to hear it. In other words, we don't want to hear what God has to say. Can anyone say amen? That's in all of us. Everybody here is, I don't want to do what God says. He wants me happy all the time. I want to be miserable. I know what I want to be. I want to be miserable right now. I want to be mad right now. I want to get vengeance right now. I want to be rich. I want to complain. You know, that's just you. Now, how many know? Everybody's like that. Everybody's like that. And if you see somebody with more than you got, you want it. That's called envy and covetousness and so on and so forth. That's why he wrote those Ten Commandments, to let you know that you're not what God was expecting. That is, you're not what he wanted. He intended for you to be holy. But what you didn't know was when you weren't holy, which he proved through Israel, then his whole idea was to give you holiness as a promise. So God's never been mad at you. He's never been, ever, ever. He was mad at Jesus. He wasn't mad at you. He took it all on in Jesus. And Jesus didn't do anything. So you will never suffer. I'm just going to tell you right now, you will never suffer if you believe that Jesus Christ took it all. How can there be any left for you when he took the spanking for me? He did it all for me, then he did it all in me, and then he did it all through me. He did it all, to God be the glory. And what a wonderful life. Why get a hold of this when you get to heaven? Wouldn't it be good to get it now? Wouldn't it be good right now to be happy all the time? Who would like to be happy all the time? And just speak it. Say, I am. That's the way to do it, because that's what God said. You are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. The new has come. So it's not coming. It's not like in the future I'll see it. Yeah, of course you'll see it in the future, but you are it now. You have a new heart now, and you can have a new soul. But you got to start it every day. Every day you got to wake up and say, this is the day. You just wake up bound out of bed. This is the day. Hey, this is the day. I can, whatever is coming this day, I love it. And I don't care. I'll just do whatever you want, Lord. I'm not afraid of anything. I can't lose. How can I lose when I've already won? Everything's going my way. That's the way to wake up. Peggy can tell you I've been that way for whatever, 40 years, I don't know what. Whatever. I always am like that. I'm always like that. Now I get up too early now before she's even awake, but still, I wish I could just shout out. But I have to keep quiet because she's sleeping. I don't even turn on the light, you know, in a room where she could see some light or something. Try to be quiet. But you know what? I'm happy all the time. Amen. All the time. Who else could say that? Amen. Who else? I'm happy all the time. I'm happy all the time. You know, because you are. Why don't you just be what you are? You are happy. You don't need to become happy. You are happy. That's what God did. That's what God said. And you got to will it. So this right here, the promise is not just to have a new heart. Here's your heart. That's spiritual. So there's your spirit. New spirit. Brand new heart. But then you also have a new soul. That is your soul. And then a new body. So there's all three. Justified, sanctified, glorified. This is God making you his son. This is the Lord Jesus, not the Savior Jesus. This is Savior right here. Savior. I know you can't see everything I'm doing, but that's all right. That's the Savior part. Here's the Lord part. You've got two parts, A and B. Lord is, he wants to be Lord of your soul. So when he says, do this, you'll say, yes, sir. I'll do it. You won't say, okay, well, let me think about that. No, there's nothing to think about. It doesn't matter what he tells you to do. Just do it. Go tell Peggy you're sorry. Go tell Peggy you were wrong. Just go and kneel. Kneel down in front of her and say, forgive me. That's the way to do it. If he says it, you just do it. Right, Logan? You don't ask questions. I know Logan lied right there, but you know, I wanted to show you that you can do it. So, hey, come on, it's just the death of you. What could be better? What's your prayer? Lord, slay me. In other words, don't let me be me. Let me be Christ in me, the new creation. I don't want to be me. I want to be Christ in me. I want to be like Christ. When you're fully taught as a disciple, this right here is not discipleship. This is. So this is believer, this is disciple, and this is lover. What he's looking for is not disciples, not even believers. He wants believers who become disciples so they can become lovers. And discipleship is nothing more than dying. So your death is what he's after. Right? So he wants, okay, here's what Paul says. He says, I am crucified with Christ. That's what he wants, right there. And he wasn't dead, but he was saying his soul. He wasn't saying his heart. He was saying his soul is dead because he's completely saying God's words, doing God's deeds, thinking God's thoughts, and so on and so forth. He just said, you know, I surrender to God. So you have to surrender by your will. So who's ready to surrender totally by your will? I will do the will of God. I do hear him. I do know him. He does love me. And I don't working at this thing, God will do it. God speak to me, and if you don't speak, it's your fault. I am listening. You just tell me what to do, and I'll do it. How many know that God will do it? It's a little scary. It's a little scary because there's another side of you that says, no. You know, but that's all right. Don't listen to that side. That's your flesh. And he's going to die, and he knows it, so he doesn't want to die. So this is the death of the flesh right here. The lordship is death of the flesh. So it's just self is dead. There is no more self. There's only Christ in me self. It's a new self. Self dead. So that is the purpose of discipleship, is to kill off the old man, put on the new. So here you're filled with the Spirit. That means emptied of you. To be filled with the Spirit would mean you're not there anymore. You're filled with the Spirit. You're led by the Spirit now as a lover. So finally, the thing he's after is a bride. He wants a glorious bride, not only you individually, which is glorified when men see your good works, because they know it's not you. They'll give glory to the Father, because it wasn't you. And so he wants us in this world to be glorified so that the Jewish people, so that the pagan people, the Baalists, the Satanists, and so on, so that the false Christian, lukewarm churches, all of them will repent and say, we saw your good works and we're going to give glory to the Father. And they will. They'll marvel. They've never seen a church that was a church. All they've seen is a phony, lukewarm church. So no wonder nobody believes in the church. Because all we have is believers. And then nobody wants to really do the will of God because they don't want to die. Everybody wants to walk in love, but they don't want to get there. Which is, well, you'd have to be dead first. You would have to get rid of your self-love. You can't love others if you still love yourself. And when we were first married, I didn't love Peggy. I did not. I just, you know, wanted to use her. Cook, sew, go to work, you know, whatever. Let me stay home, pray, and so on. And go to school. I was good. I was good at that. But I didn't want to serve her. She would even ask me, do you love me? No. I mean, that. Yeah, next question. You know, it's like, no, I don't. I love me. And, you know, too bad for you if you married me and you didn't know that. You should have found that out. But, you know, I just thought I'd let you know now I'm the head. It's in the Bible, too. So I had no sympathy. You have to understand, I have no sympathy at all. None. She could cry. It wouldn't make any difference. Because then I'd just say to her, Peg, what are you crying for? Because you don't love me. I said, well, do you love me? Not loving you? And then she would just be blank. It's like, well, just answer it. You either hate me or you love me. Which is it? And any way she goes, it's a checkmate. Because if she says, you deceived me, I would go, then you should have asked Jesus, because he wouldn't have. So it's your fault for choosing me. Number two, y'all, I can see you're all not happy about this kind of teaching, but I love this. because it's the truth. Only God can change a man. I don't know if you've ever tried to change a man. You cannot. Men are impossible. And women are deceptive and easily deceived, like Eve. Now, the point is that only God then can do this, because he wants you to go through this. That's why he's got so few customers here. You've got a lot of people here with a new heart, but no new soul and no new life. You have to will this. God, I didn't want to have a good husband. I want you to be my Lord. I want you to take care of my sin, and I got plenty. So let's work on me for 2 hours. I mean, it takes 2 or 3 hours sometimes to get rid of all your sin. Of course, in the soul, you have to do it every day. That's a little bit of a drag. Is that not a drag? It's a little bit of a drag. Is, when I fell in love with Jesus, it had nothing to do with Peggy. It just had to do with, and it wasn't because she was good or bad or anything. She was always nice. It had to do with Jesus. I just realized I'm completely evil. And not only am I evil, I don't have any love for God or any care for God, but I'm just going to perish. That's it. And all my sinning isn't getting me any happiness. Has anybody ever tried to sin, be selfish, and then not get happiness? Has anybody ever tried that? You get everything you want, and it's no good. You're not even satisfied. And that was happening to me. That was happening to me. But you see, Peggy's problem was she didn't love me back. She should have said, yes, I still love you, but I don't like what you do. But she didn't have those kind of clever answers. So she just didn't answer. It's like, Peg, just say, if you don't love me, then you got a problem. You're sinful, wicked. And if you do love me, then go cook something. You know, do something nice for me. She didn't think I was funny at all. She did not find any humor in what I was saying. I thought it was funny. And then 7 hours later, because she didn't want to say, she'd finally say, well, you know, I don't love you. Well, good, see, you're a sinner. We're even. Yahoo! Y'all don't see the humor of that. I don't know why. That's a hard one for you. You don't know yourself if you don't realize we're all wicked. You have to know that there's nobody here that has even a shred of natural decency. Only God is good. And there is none good but God. That's so clear to me. Maybe you think, well, you have a few goods. You don't. Anything good, you got to give God the glory for it. It wasn't you. So anything evil, do not be shocked or surprised. I can't believe I thought that thought. I can't believe I did that deal. Why? Why are you surprised? The whole Bible is written, the whole Old Testament is all about your sin. So you finally come to grips with it. And the New Testament also talks of sin. You know what it talks about? It's not like the Old Testament. It's not Ten Commandments stuff. You know what the New Testament sin is? And the Holy Spirit, when He has come, He will convict the world of sin. Of sin because you broke the Ten Commandments. No. Because you committed murder. No. Because you committed adultery. No. What is the sin in the New Testament? You did not believe in me, Jesus said. That's the sin? You know, I just didn't believe in Jesus? Yes, because if you were a sinner, you would need Him. So you didn't believe Him as Savior, and you certainly didn't believe in Him as Lord. You called Him Lord. But He said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I say? You call me Savior, I'll forgive you for all your sins. But you call me Lord and then not do what I say? That's hypocrisy. And hypocrisy then is the sin of the New Testament. Now the Old Testament was full of hypocrisy too. And God caught them. But His point is that the Ten Commandments is not where you're failing. Your failure is you don't believe in the gospel. It's not that you didn't do the law, it's that you don't believe in the gospel. If you believe, you'll see. It's not if you see, you will believe. So all God has ever been after is that you'd see what He's like. He's a loving Father. He's wonderful. And when I saw that, I didn't have to change. I just beheld Him, and we are changed from one degree of glory to another degree of glory to another degree of glory. And I fell in love with my mother, with my wife, with everybody, even my enemies. I just fell in love. Do you know that no man could do that? I couldn't do that. I'd never seen a Christian do that. I'd seen legalistic Christians on the outside without their heart being in it. But I'd never seen that. And when I saw that, I realized, wow, just looking at Jesus loving me as a sinner, that changed me. It's like, why would you do that? You're crazy. Why would you love a sinner? This kind of preaching is very hard on the flesh. That's the purpose of it. Thank you. Thank you. 10:30. I have to go because it's 10:30. So, is everybody here wicked?
Yes.
Apart from me, you can do nothing. But in me, through me, you can do all things. Now, that's the issue is not the apart from me. The issue is once he's in you, once he's in your heart, then he wants to move from the heart into the outer court, into the holy place, which is your soul, and then into the Holy of Holies, which is where your works come out. You'd think in the Holy of Holies, you're just worshiping God. But actually, your worship of God results in love for the neighbor. Because God doesn't want you to stay there worshiping him forever. He wants you to go and love the neighbor. He doesn't need your love. I mean, he's not thirsting for love. What he wants is for you to go and love the neighbor who you hate, who you don't even see, who you don't even care about. It isn't just that you hate people. They don't even exist. You can be married to somebody and that person doesn't exist, or you don't, because you never became a person, because persons sin. Did you know that persons sin? When you're a person and you sin, then you got to deal with God. Because he told you not to do it. But remember, he's a God of justice and mercy. We need to live by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. Not just the judgment of God, but also the mercy of God. And any time that he judges you, that's because he loves you. And any time he loves you, that he's going to show you mercy. And any time he gives you mercy, he's going to give you the power. And he's going to change you into his likeness. And into his, you'll have his image. That's this one. And then you'll have his likeness. That's these two. So God is good. God is great. God is awesome.